لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه إحسانا. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Absolute perfection, glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and salutations and peace and blessings be upon the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. Alhamdulillah, we are gathered here by the infinite mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His very home, in the hope that we will find His forgiveness, in the hope that we will find His mercy, and also in the hope that we will find the protection from the fire of hell. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost accept all of our pure and sincere intentions by coming here into His home, and by means of this gathering forgive us for all of our sins and raise our ranks in this dunya and also in the hereafter. I missed you yesterday, and I hope everybody also missed me. Family ties are very, very intricate, and the way that insan has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he's very impatient, and he's always ready to sever his ties due to his impatience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوَى, that he's quite impatient, he's quite hollow. So whenever something happens which doesn't go according to his own will or to his desire, he very easily walks away from that particular situation. So we as human beings are quite complicated. On one hand, we need our families, we need our brothers and sisters and our parents. But at the other hand, if something happens and we're very quick to blow off some steam and then walk away from the situation entirely. But in spite of this part of our nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still created certain means and certain methods within which our ties still remain strong, and that we are still interlinked with each other in one manner or form. And how is that? Because I'm just sharing my reflections with you from yesterday's event that took place in my hometown in Redditch. Anytime something happens within a family, especially like a wedding, a nikah, a mangni sometimes happens, or whether it's just a celebration for somebody succeeding in their exams, the university, or a newborn, an aqiqah, all of these moments of happiness, even though you may have your grudges, you may have your reservations, you may have your ups and downs with certain parts of your family members, but when these joyous occasions happen, your heart cannot but incline towards those occasions. And you think, chalo yaar, choro, whatever's happened, let's just go and be part of the happiness and be part of the joy. And this isn't something which is, you know, random. This is rather something which has been purposely created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no matter how individualized your lives are and how secular your lives are, kahin na kahin, you know, you'll end up being with your family again. Whether it's through a graduation, whether it's through a new baby born, whether it's through the aqiqah or through their birthday, through a mangni, through a nikah, through a walima, kahin na kahin, you'll still end up meeting your family members. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making us meet our family members again and again, is saying, where are you going to go? Where are you going to hide from your family members? And at the same time, and the other way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still brings us back together is through loss, through hardship, through calamities, when your family members, whether it's your parents, your brothers or sisters or close relatives, something happens to them, they have an accident, of illness befalls them, they end up in the hospital, they're at home and they can no longer go to work. Or something else happens to them and they suffer a loss, whether physical, financial or any other form, then this is yet again when your heart when the strings of your heart are pulled and you want to go to those family members, even though you may have your differences, you still want to go, chalo yaar, narazgi hai chodo, but fotgi hogi, bimari hogi, and all of these things. So you go and do bimar pursi, you go and do ta'ziyah, you go and do all of these things. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's means yet again to rekindle those rishte, to re-strengthen those rishte, and say, where are you going to go? No matter how many times you try to sever your ties through happiness and through gham, you are still brought back and pulled back by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with your family members. And it is through these moments that you realize how precious your rishte and your nate actually are. Because whilst you're living your own life, but when you go and you share with the happiness, then it gives you so much more strength. And it gives you that ability to continue with life with a bit more zeal and a bit more enthusiasm. And similarly, when something bad happens with your family members, then it makes you sympathize and even empathize with your family members, and your heart melt towards them once again. So never just think that it's easy for you to break away from your family members. Some way, some form, your raste will interconnect. So why allow that situation to actually take place, whether khushi or ghammi? You should always be with your family members through thick and thin, through the highs and through the lows. And this is where you will truly find satisfaction, where you'll actually be happy with yourself, and you will see that much more blessings will come into your lives because you are maintaining the ties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And family is one of those beautiful things yet again, where you'll go through great lengths, remarkable lengths, just to do something which doesn't necessarily just make the other person happy, but also makes you happy as well. So I'm actually, you know, just sharing my own reflections, you know, in relation to the wedding that took place on Saturday, that I got up in the morning, you know, after a long night of Taraweeh, as you know, like everybody else, but then got up very early in the morning and prepared myself and prepared the lecture for the Friday sermon. A couple of hours, 2 hours was spent on that. Then I had to rush, you know, to get the car ready. I had to rush to go to a few shops to buy certain items, and came back to Jumu'ah, did the Jumu'ah, then drove an hour and a half to Halifax, even though it's only up the road. But because of the Friday traffic, it took me nearly 2 hours to get to Halifax. And then I bought something very unique for my niece, and then came back again another 2 hours. Then, tired as I was, still had to come into the masjid, learn my Quran, prepare my lecture, deliver the lecture on Friday to you guys. Then it was Taraweeh, finished the Taraweeh, went to sleep, got up, and then went all the way to Birmingham, and took me another 3 hours because of the traffic. But the point in all of these things is that no matter how tired you may be, no matter what you may be going through in your own life, financial loss, physical loss, bimari, all of these things, when it comes to family, and when your family means something to you, you will forego your sleep. You will forego how tired you are, how ill you are, and wealth and time, and everything will become insignificant. Why? Because you're doing it for a greater good. And when you do share your presence with them, you know, even though you may be busy and they may not expect you to come because they know how far away you live or because of your other responsibilities, but when you make that extra effort and you see the smile on their faces, it's absolutely priceless. And when that smile comes, then all your taqawwud, all your tiredness and everything that you did becomes worth it. So this is why we've been talking about family from the beginning of Ramadan up until now, that as much as it benefits other people, so as much as it benefits your parents or your brothers and your sisters, it equally also benefits you, because it strengthens your spirit, your resolve, your iman, and you become a much more happier person and content person, a person who is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the time does come for you to make certain sacrifices, just the way our parents throughout our lives have made those sacrifices consecutively again and again and again, there will always come a time for you to repay them in that particular favor, in the way that they did the ihsan upon you. So don't shy away in terms of the happiness, and neither shy away in terms of ghami as well. When your family needs you to support them, to give them a shoulder to cry on, to say, don't worry, I am here even though you have suffered a loss, that is more worthy and that is more unique than you just sending them a card, than you just sending them a text message, than you just phoning them and saying, chalo, you know, Allah khair kare, oh, Allah ta'ala ni marzi. You know, you need to be there in person, and this is when, you know, those family ties become so priceless. And it comes back to one beautiful hadith. Everything that I've mentioned relates to one beautiful hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that if you want to extend your life, and you might think then, how is it possible for us to actually extend our lives? Because Allah Ta'ala has already ordained you're going to live 50 years or 40 years or 60 years, however many years. But nevertheless, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that if you want to extend your life, then maintain your ties of kingship. Why? Because when you go to see your family, it has a physiological effect. Because when, you know, the hormones are released in your body out of happiness and out of joy, then your inside of your body is much more healthier. And similarly, when those family members do a dua for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may perhaps accept that dua, and because of that dua, grant you great health, grant you a longer life because of that dua, because you maintain those ties of kingship. So through ghami, through khushi, always be there for your family members, because it doesn't only benefit them, it also always, more importantly, benefits you as well. So that was just my reflection that I wanted to share with you in relation to just, you know, Friday and Saturday, what I did. And I hope also you did something beneficial as well. And just as much as you can, especially in the month of Ramadan, because we began this month by saying to each other, this is the month of the Quran, but also this is the month of the family as well. So do your iftar together. Do your sahri together, pray your salahs together, recite the Quran together, do dua together, do the zikr together, because these will bring you together and unite you in happiness, in love and joy as well. But apart from that, you know, as you know, we've discussed so many aspects of the family, the responsibilities, especially the mother, her role, and the father, his role and responsibility. So far we've talked about all of the parental side on how to approach, how to discuss, how to communicate, how to share, and all of these things. So finally today we'll come a bit to the children's side as well, because they have a huge responsibility and role to play towards their parents. So inshallah Al-Aziz, today's topic is related towards the dutifulness of children towards their parents. And when children are dutiful towards their parents, they are actually doing an ibadah. Just the way parents, when they fulfill their responsibilities towards their children, they're actually doing an ibadah, a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're following His commands to take care of the children. And similarly, when children become dutiful towards their parents, they are actually worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are doing that which He has commanded in the Quran. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And towards your parents, you be excellent in your behavior, in your demeanor, in your approach, in your language, in your conversation, in your feelings, in your thoughts. Ihsan in every single manner and form. And when you do this, and you respect them and honor them, then you are actually doing an ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which you are rewarded abundantly in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So the youth, and especially the children, it's very important for them to understand that they have a great responsibility. Just like the parents have their responsibility and they need to fulfill their side, similarly the children have a great responsibility to make sure that they do not live isolated lives from their parents. They need to make sure that they are communicating between themselves and their parents. So instead of spending time talking to their friends or chatting over the internet, they need to leave that within the home. Remember, the home is a place of stability, a place of sukoon. Within the home, the phone should be put aside. The iPads and the tablets and the laptops and everything should be put aside. There's a time for work. You have all day to work. And if you do need to do something which is pressing, then go to your bedroom and do something there. But when you're in the home, you need to be making sure that you are spending time with your mother and your father, with your brothers and with your sisters. This is family time. This is home time. This is the time of stability, not the time of friends or chatting or internet or technology or anything like that. So make sure you're not living isolated lives within your home. Make sure you, as children, you are consulting your parents and you're listening to their advice, that you are not saying off to them, and that you share the same interests with them, and you do not hurt their feelings in any particular way or form. And just the way you expect your parents to appreciate you, to respect you and honor you, similarly you must do all of the same things as well, just the way they do all of those things for you. So never neglect your parents, never overlook your parents, and no matter how close you may be to them or how far you are from your parents, always remember them. Remember, just because your parents are much more older, they are more mature, they are more experienced, doesn't mean that they don't want love. Doesn't mean that they don't look for appreciation or respect. They want the same things that we want. Just the way we want to be respected and appreciated and loved and cared for. Similarly, they are still human beings. They are still individuals, even though they are a unit as well. And therefore, you as children must make sure that you appreciate them, you love them, no matter how close you are or how far you are. So if you live closely, you have more responsibility to make sure you visit them on a regular basis. And if you live far away, there is no excuse for you not to pick up the phone or not to Skype or do any other particular methods, or always find an opportunity to go and visit them, because it will benefit you and also it will benefit them as well. So inshallah al-Aziz, today we will just go through seven very simple points, just the way we went through the punishments, seven ways of not punishing your children and finding alternatives as well. Today inshallah we'll just discuss quickly seven points of how to be dutiful towards your parents. So the first thing that the children need to do, the brothers and sisters and the siblings towards their parents and their aunts and their uncles, they need to make sure that they consult them. Because if a child is doing whatever they want to do, for whatever reason, you may think that you are doing this for the right reasons, because this is modern society and you know what to do. You can think yourself, you can do things yourself, you don't need anybody's support or anything like that or advice. No. No matter how old you are, how young you are, you should always be consulting your parents, because they have far much more wisdom, far much more experience, and they have gone through the challenges of life much more than you have. So it doesn't matter how intellectual you are, how sensible you are, still always consult your parents. And this is part of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he would consult his wives, he would consult the Sahaba ikram, even though he has been given knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows what he should be doing, how he should be doing it. But to include people in your consultation is a very important thing. So don't, even though you have children make their own decisions, you should still consult your parents and make them part of that decision-making process and consult them, because when you consult them, you will receive blessings in the action that you are about to do. And also by consulting them, you will make them feel valued and they will feel content and feel happy. But if you don't consult them, they will just think, "Puttar kadi mashwara hi nahi karna, apni manmani karna, beti apni manmani karni, koi mashwara nahi karni." And they will feel like they have no space. They have no role or function in that rishta anymore. They will feel like, "Asi tenu bada kita, ye kita, wo kita, and now tu ghai ni banne," as they say, you don't even, you know, come and listen or talk to us or consult us in any particular manner. So whenever there's a decision that you need to make, whether it's a business, whether it's starting something new, whether it's a subject or anything that you want to do religiously, socially, culturally, the politeness dictates that you always consult your family members, even though you may not take their advice on board. But you don't need to tell them that, but you still consult them and make them feel part of the process. Just like a husband, if he's always making the decisions, even though they may be the right decisions and correct decisions, then it will have a negative effect on his relationship with his wife. Why? Because she will feel left out, that, you know, we're supposed to be a team. We're supposed to be a unit, we're supposed to be working together, but he doesn't do any mashwara with me. So she will feel, you know, unappreciated, undervalued. And this is the same thing for parents as well. They will feel the same thing because they're still human beings. So the children always need to make sure that they consult their parents in all small affairs and especially big affairs as well. That's the first thing that I want all the siblings to remember and for the children to remember. The second thing that they need to remember is to make sure that they tolerate their behavior. So the children need to tolerate the behavior of their parents. And yes, all the parents cannot be ideal parents. All parents, remember, they are still human. Whilst they always try to reach those ideals of the Quran and the perfection of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but throughout all of these stages, they are still human beings, so they will falter, They will err, they will make mistakes, they may go this way or that way. But in spite of their shortcomings and their failings, whatever the parents are and however they behave, the child must always tolerate and respect the behavior of their children. Yes, obviously, you should correct their behavior in a respectful manner, in an honorable way, and speak to them. But however their behavior is, the child needs to be patient towards their parents. So, no matter how harshly your parents speak to you and how they behave towards you, you must still respect them and you must still tolerate them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned what فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, that you can't even say uff to your parents. So Allah ta'ala here doesn't say, don't say uff to good parents or to perfect parents or to ideal parents, or to those parents who are exactly like the Prophet ﷺ. No, your parents mutlaq, general, open, no restriction. However your parents are, biologically, your parents, whoever they are, whatever they are, you can't even say uff to them. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. So you can't scold them, you can't answer back to them in a negative way, in a horrible way. Always speak to them in respectful and in kind words. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So your father, maybe whoever he is, he has his shortcomings, his anger, his various problems. The mother may have her own problems, but you must always still respect them. The Sahaba ikram, when some of them would become, when they became Muslims and their parents were still non-Muslims, they would come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and say, should we still, you know, speak to our mother and our father? How should we treat them? How should we behave to them? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would recite this verse to them and say, you have a greater duty to be more respectful to them, more honorable to them. They may shout at you, they may scream at you, they may punish you, and they may say so many things to you, even swear at you, but don't you say even off to them. Don't you be disrespectful to them. You must still tolerate them and respect their behavior, because through your good behavior, they will learn something beneficial and they will also slowly melt as well. So that's the second thing, that they, you need to be tolerant and considerate towards your parents in all manners and in all affairs, and not treat them harshly and not be undutiful to them in any particular way or form. The third thing that you need to do, just like parents, in order to gain the confidence and the trust of the children, children also need to make sure that they partake and participate in the interest of the parents. So if the parent likes watching football, if the parent likes going for a walk, if the parent likes watching a particular sitcom or doing particular activities, the child also needs to make sure that they sit down with their parents, they walk with their parents, they enjoy the same thing that the parents enjoy. Because when you do things that your parents enjoy, whether it's just fishing, whether it's going for a walk, or anything, then the parent will feel good about themselves. And when they feel good and they smile, then whenever they make that dua for you in that particular state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their du'as for you. So this is why it's important for you to be interested. Not just think, you know, my dad is from 50 years behind, they're from a different culture, they're from a different era. You know, today this is an era of games and this and that and, you know, all these technologies. No. Take interest in the interest of your parents, in the activities of your parents. This will strengthen your bond and bring you to go together closer as children and as parents, as a family unit. So this is another important thing, the third thing that children will do, whether it's going to a restaurant, having the same food that the parents like, wearing the same clothes that they like wearing, a hat or colors or anything. What, find out the interests of your parents, the likes of your parents, the dislikes of your parents, and do those things that they like and enjoy, and you will see that the bond becomes closer between the children and the parent. The fourth thing that you need to do as children is you need to help them even though you may be busy. Because we naturally assume maapio sarakush karsan, whether that's financially they have to do everything, whether that's physically washing the dishes, cleaning the house, washing the car, all of these things, because it becomes a habit as we are young, it becomes an expectation from the children, for the parents to always do it. Tusi kapde do, tusi istri karo, tusi safai karo, tusi khana lao, shopping karo, paise do. All of these things become habits and they become expectations. But you need to help out as much as you can. Shan. And it doesn't mean just help out financially when you get a job and you help out towards the bills and the expenses of the home. No, you help out physically as well. So when you're home, even though you may be tired, you may be busy, you see your mother and father cleaning up, washing the dishes, doing whatever, mowing the lawn, you need to get up off your backside and you need to help them as much as possible. Drive your parents to the doctors, to hospital appointments, to the town center, help them with their shopping. Even though you know your mum takes 2 hours and she goes through all of the shops and she comes back to the first shop and still buys the same clothes, still do those things with them because it'll make them happy. And when you make them happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. And then the du'as that they make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept those du'as as well. The fifth thing that you can do is become the source of their happiness by making them smile. And this is a very important thing for children to do. That the more that they smile at their parents, remember, parents have a huge amount of pressure, a huge amount of responsibility on their shoulders. They're not just thinking about you, they have to think about their own brothers and sisters. They have to think about their own parents who are your grandparents. They have to think about their own puppo, tai, mame, chache, all of these people. Constantly, they have to think about all of these responsibilities. They have to think about the mortgage, they have to think about the bills, the expenses, the food, the clothing. So many things are on their shoulders. They have so much responsibility that they become burdened with so many things in their life. And what you can do at least is minimize their burden. Make them a bit more happier by saying a joke. Brother Umar always tries to, you know, make his mother happy by, you know, pulling a joke here and there. This is what you can do as well. Go home. Your mother may be parashan, your dad may be parashan, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional or spiritual, uplift their spirits. You know, make a joke. Do something, take them out, you know, do something that will make them happy, which will make them smile so that their burden can be lessened. Kiss their hands, kiss their feet, hug them for no reason whatsoever. Buy some food which they like and feed them yourself with your own hands. When you do these things, it will make them happy. And this is one of the important things that children need to do, become a source of their happiness. Because remember the dua that we make, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَزُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. That, oh Allah, make our spouses and make our children the coolness of our eyes. So that through our wives, through our spouses and our partners and our children, we become happy. But when parents are old or mature and the children grow up and the children become a source of burden on the parents, then that dua has not been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to fulfill that dua as a child, as a son, as a daughter. You need to become the coolness of your parents' eyes. You need to become the happiness of your parents. How can you do that? Kiss them, hug them, love them, cherish them. Pull a joke, do things which will make them happy so that they will have sukoon and rahat in their life and that everything will become worthwhile. That all the sacrifices, all the things that they did, they'll think, subhanAllah, yes, it was all worth it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you the coolness of my eyes, made you the happiness and the joy of my life as well. So try to do these things as well. Another thing, the sixth thing that you can do as a child is ask about their friends. Because remember, just the way your friends mean a lot to you, your parents' friends mean also a lot to them as well. So ask about their friends and also ask about their relatives. Don't just concern yourself, it's just me, mum and dad, brother and sister, and that's it. No. Their relatives, i.e. their brothers and sisters, their khandan, means a lot to their parents, just the way your family means a lot to you. And by you asking about their friends and their family members, it will make them happier as well. When the Prophet ﷺ, he entered into Makkatul Mukarramah on various occasions, he would always, always ask about the relatives and the friends of Sayyidah Khadijatul Kubra. Because they used to come and visit him while she was alive. So when the Prophet ﷺ would go to Mecca, he would go and visit the relatives of Sayyidah Khadija and the friends of Sayyidah Khadija. Why? Because he knew it would make her happy as well. Because this is what you need to do. You need to maintain the ties and the kinship and the friendship of your parents as well. It's not just about maintaining your direct tie with your family, but also maintain their ties as well. So when your mother and when your father pass away, you need to make sure that you maintain their ties as well. And whilst they are alive, you need to make sure that when they go to visit them, you join them as well. And when they are unable to visit them, you visit on their behalf. What happens when your father and your mother cannot go? They say, Puttar ja, uski miliya. phuphu ki miliya, chachi ki miliya, us ki miliya. But if you've never gone to visit them in your lifetime, how awkward will it be for you to go there and feel like, what am I supposed to do? But if you have continuously met them and been part of that extended family, then you will feel comfortable and you will learn more about your parents through your puppy, through your chachi, through your taya. Why? Because they will share with you a different side of your mother and different side of your father. So it's very important for you to maintain those ties of friendship and those ties of kinship as well of your parents. And the seventh thing that you can do is do a dua for your parents. Just the way the parents' dua is always accepted for the children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept those dua because they are sincere. And you need the duas of your parents. Similarly, your parents also need your duas as well. Pray for them whilst they are alive. And this is what we do again and again in every single salah. Rabbi ighfir li wa li walidayya. Oh Allah Ta'ala, forgive me, my Lord, forgive me and forgive my parents. You're asking Allah Ta'ala to forgive your parents whilst they are alive. You're also asking Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to grant them happiness, to grant them joy, to grant them sukoon, to grant them good health. All of these things you should be doing dua every single day in your prayer. Just where you ask Allah Ta'ala for all of these things for yourself, before yourself, you should be also asking for all of these things for your parents as well. Because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be able to do those du'as for yourself. It is only through them, through their tarbiyah, through their education, through their protection, through their upbringing and nurturing, are you able to do these things for yourself. So always remember your parents in your du'as. Whatever you ask for yourself, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the same to your parents. And when they pass away, when they go into return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then make sure, make it obligatory upon you, just the way it is obligatory upon you to pray, make sure that you remember them every single day in every single salah, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make their graves a place of sukoon, a place of rahat, and open a window from the gardens of paradise so that they can have that itminan, that tranquility within their graves, to raise their rank in the hereafter, to forgive them for all of their shortcomings and their failings, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a high place in Jannah. When you do that, when your parents will see you again, they will be very happy because they will know that by your du'as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them or raised their ranks. So this is very important, because even though your parents pass away from the dunya, your du'as still reach them. Your good deeds on their behalf, the reward still reaches them. A parent may be in the lowest part of heaven, but through the du'as of his children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate that parent to a higher and higher place in Jannah. Why? Because the parent taught that child something beneficial, and because that child is doing that beneficial thing of sharing knowledge, giving charity, doing dua, originally the source of all of those good deeds was the actual parent. So that's why a portion of all of that reward goes back to the parent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the maqam of that parent. So as a child, make sure that you are doing dua, and don't underestimate the power of the dua. Just the way the power of the dua benefits you in the dunya, it also benefits you in the hereafter as well. And know that you will not be able to enter into the gardens of paradise until your parents are happy with you and content with you. And you'll remember the hadith of that sahabi that I mentioned, when the mother was not happy with the sahabi, with her own son, and he was unable to utter the shahada. But when the Prophet ﷺ told her that he would burn him alive, then she immediately forgave him, and then he was able to recite the shahada and he returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't think that just on your own accord you'll be able to enter into the gardens of paradise through your own deeds. No, a huge portion of that is through your parents. Only when your parents are razi with you, happy with you, and they do dua with you, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you into the gardens of paradise. So as children as well, just the way your parents have a huge duty, responsibility towards you, you have an even greater responsibility and duty towards your parents, to be tender towards them, to be compassionate towards them, to be loving and caring and affectionate towards them, and to do all of those things that they did for you and much more as well within your lifetime, and remember them in the hereafter as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all as brothers and sisters, as daughters and sons, to be dutiful towards our parents just the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded in the Quran. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khaira. For those people who are about to do i'tikaf, or who are intending to do i'tikaf, i'tikaf is a great sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it must be done by at least one person within the community, otherwise the entire community becomes sinful. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, every year in here, in this blessed and beautiful mosque, we have much, you know, at least 20 or 25 people doing i'tikaf. But it's important to understand the sanctity of the i'tikaf as well, where you come with the intention to leave the dunya, because the dunya will remain there all year. So the purpose of i'tikaf is that spiritual seclusion away from everything else, and including your family. This is what private thing, this is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire month of Ramadan is between you and your family and your community, but this 10 days of i'tikaf is specifically and solely between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you seclude yourself physically and spiritually for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those intending to do i'tikaf must understand the gravity, the importance and sanctity of i'tikaf, and make sure you come here and you leave the dunya, which means you leave your mobile phones, you leave your laptops, you leave your tablets, and you come here just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you can pray in earnest and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more closely. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of those people who are doing i'tikaf and accept their i'tikaf, and enable us also to do i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan, and also to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to closer to our families. If anybody has any questions related to i'tikaf, please do feel free to ask those questions. Otherwise, inshallah al-Aziz, will complete this session here today. Unfortunately, tomorrow I will be unable to attend the lecture, just the way you are my family, and obviously I had a family engagement yesterday. Tomorrow I have another family engagement. It's not my immediate family, but it is the family of Islam. It is the family of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There's a conference for Sunni Muslims tomorrow on how the ulama, how the scholars, how the imams need to get together to help make sure that our Islam is progressing in the correct way, that we can prevent radicalization, that we can answer all of those particular questions that are very, very important in this era and this time. So I'll have to attend as part of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as part of that family of Iman people. So please don't feel, you know, like I've left you, but you know, inshallah Aziz, I'll return back and we'll be with you on Tuesday, and inshallah till the end of Ramadan, because I have no other engagements, just these two. So inshallah, please do join me again on Tuesday. Jazakumullahu khairan.